Hi, Tim Roy for Warriors.com, Warriors Sound, and SoundCloud.com/Warriors. We continue to mock the 2020 NBA draft, and here is how it has gone so far. With the number one pick, the Minnesota Timberwolves took Anthony Edwards, the swingman out of Georgia. Very good athlete, has some upside. James Wiseman of Memphis goes to the Warriors, filling a need at the five and giving them that big player that they did not have last year at 7'1 and 240 pounds. Now, with the third pick in the draft, the Charlotte Hornets took Onyeka Okongwu of USC. And so the 6'9 rebounding forward could also help the Hornets because they were dead last in defensive rebounding a year ago. So now on the clock, the Chicago Bulls. And it's a little bit different than some of the mock drafts I've seen so far. So to help us negotiate all that, Casey Johnson, a friend of Warriors Radio, joins us yet again to help us with all things Bulls and NBA. Casey, first of all, how are you?
I'm doing well, Tim. Thanks for having me on.
And family and everybody good?
We are all healthy, knock on wood, and looking forward to the resumption of the NBA season in December. That's going to be something.
Yeah, it's going to be, the 2020 has been the year like no other, so 2021 is going to share a little bit in that, I think. So let's get to the Bulls right now. Big-time coaching change, and tell me the impact that you expect that to have on the Bulls and their fortunes.
Well, you got to go above that and obviously just go to the executive change. I mean, this is the first draft that John Paxson and Gar Forman won't be running since 2003 when they selected Kirk Heinrich from Kansas. Arturis Karnišovas and Mark Eversley have been hired from the Nuggets and the 76ers respectively. So, the Bulls, as one of the delete eight teams, the wonderful nickname that John Hollinger from The Athletic pinned on the Bulls and Warriors and others, we were very busy in the offseason, so they completely overhauled their management team and then obviously made the big impact coaching hire with Billy Donovan replacing Jim Boylan. What Billy Donovan talked about in taking the job was that he what appealed to him about it was the partnership aspect to it. So I know he will have some say in the draft board, but, Arturis comes from a Nuggets program that scored many major picks working with Tim Connelly and that staff in Denver in the draft. Obviously, the most notable one being Nikola Jokic as a second-round pick and now, a perennial All-NBA center. So there is a track record of success with Arturis' draft background. What I will say is that publicly he has talked about not getting hung up on, and I know a lot of teams say this, but you can just look at that Jokic pick as an example of this, not getting hung up on duplication, really just sticking to who you have ranked best on your board when your pick comes, if you don't make a trade. And I bring up the Jokic example because, that, believe it or not, that was with the Bulls, that year. They traded, the draft rights, to Doug McDermott to the Bulls for the draft rights to Gary Harris and Yusuf Nurkic. And then turn right around and pick Jokic in the second round and then realize, okay, Jokic is better. Let's flip Nurkic to Portland eventually. So that's an example of Arturis's thinking, and I think you'll see that play out with the Bulls as well.
I should mention that Casey Johnson, long time with the Chicago Tribune, now with NBC Sports of Chicago. He has joined the folks with the cameras now. And Casey, as you look at the Bulls right now, and obviously, as you mentioned, they're going to draft the best possible player. But overall, when you look at free agency, the draft, what does this roster need?
Yeah, so, getting away from best player, but if you're looking at positional need, they've really obviously had trouble solidifying two positions, the wing and point guard. And, they made the big trade with the Wizards a couple of years ago for Otto Porter Jr., who, when he's been healthy, has actually impacted the Bulls very positively. Obviously, a very solid two-way player. Nothing flashy, but, dead-eye shooter, positional size, strong defender, good ball movement guy. So he's really made an impact. But the problem, as I mentioned, is when he's been available. He's just been really wrecked by injuries, barely played last season. So you're really in a situation where you don't know what you can rely on from him. Chandler Hutchison would be another player at that position, but he too, in his first 2 years in the league as a former first round pick out of Boise State, has had difficulty staying on the court. So there's some potential there, but they just haven't been available. So, you know, Bulls fans have known for a long time they've had trouble finding him and staying in such a difficult position to get a two-way player at that spot. And then the big one to me is point guard. You know, it's weird to say that given that they've got so many point guards on their roster, Ryan Arcidiacono, Kobe White, Tomas Satoransky, they signed as a point guard, but Chris Dunn could be a restricted free agent if they tender him a qualifying offer. So they're on paper, they seem loaded at point guard, but to me, none of those people are the long-term solution. I actually see Kobe as more of a scoring guard, and I know we're in a positionless NBA, but he really just to me seems more of an off-the-ball kind of microwave scoring dynamic guy. He's not really a break-down-the-defense kind of point guard. And then Satoransky, while a wonderful you know, rotation player for literally any team in the league because of his positional size and his versatility, again, is not a traditional point guard. And then Arcidiacono is obviously just a reserved back-of-the-bench guy. And I personally don't think they're going to commit to Dunn long-term. I could be wrong. I don't know this new management regime incredibly well. So to me, the biggest need, and I've actually written this for NBCSportsChicago.com. I've heard people around the league talk about they're pretty confident the Bulls are going to address point guard, whether that's through the draft or free agency. They're going to try to address that position.
Casey, I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit here. You know, kind of an unfair question, but because we really, you know, we don't know all the details. But how will the cap and where it's going to go? How will that affect Chicago?
It's really not going to this season, Tim, because everybody, you know, Otto Porter Jr. has a $28.5 million player option that I think he would be insane to turn down. So we're all just obviously assuming that's going to be picked up, and then they're going to be an over the cap team, just able to work the margins of free agency with their exceptions, both the mid-level and the biannual. So they're one of the many teams that are positioned to have cap space in 2021. Otto Porter Jr.'s contract comes off the book. Cristiano Felicio's contract comes off the books. Those are the two big ones. So, you know, barring a trade or a shakeup of the roster, you expect them to operate as an over-the-cap team in 2021 and then have the cap space in the 21 offseason.
Yeah, and hopefully we all get back to normal in the 21-22 season. That would be nice. Let's go now to the podium. So Adam Silver goes up, and if the draft works this way and the previous three players that we mentioned have been taken, they're off the board, what would the Chicago Bulls do here?
Well, with the fourth pick in the 2020 NBA draft, the Chicago Bulls select LaMelo Ball out of, I guess you'd call it Australia. I don't know. I don't even know where you would peg the guy.
But, parts unknown.
But, you know, as I just mentioned, I do see the Bulls addressing point guard in this offseason, whether that's through the draft or free agency. The intel that I've had, and obviously, you know, this is far out from the draft, Tim, we all know there's a lot of smoke and misinformation out there, but the intel I've had is the Bulls do believe Ball will be off the board in those top three picks. So if you're telling me he's there, I see them drafting him. He's, to me, he's clearly the top point guard prospect. I do think there are obviously question marks with his shooting form, but if you're talking about a true point guard with positional size and, you know, it seems like a willingness to defend, obviously he's got a long way to go there. I think he's clearly the answer. I do think he's a little bit of a polarizing prospect. There's some people that think this guy can be an absolute superstar. I actually had one scout I talked to compare him to, believe it or not, well, they didn't compare him to. They said his ceiling to him was Jason Kidd. Oh. And obviously, if you're mentioning the Hall of Famer, you're in some pretty good company. And it's kind of funny that the scout used that comp because, you know, Jason obviously was not known as a shooter and didn't have a very good shot coming out of college and then obviously became a pretty knockdown three-point shooter by the end of his career. So that would be the high-end comp. You know, I do think he's polarizing because he's got a little bit of a – he's got a little – I don't know. I don't even want – I don't know the guy, so I don't want to, like, judge him. But I've heard – you know, I was in on one media interview with him, and I don't know if it's stubbornness or confidence or air of entitlement. He's just got a little something about him that I think can be a little off-putting to some. You know, he's clearly confident in his abilities. And then I think, you know, that shot is another reason why he's a polarizing prospect. But if he's on the board, I think he's too good of an opportunity to pass up for the Bulls.
Casey Johnson of NBC Sports Chicago, always a pleasure, my friend, and hopefully that I'll get to see you sometime in the near future.
Yeah, I think that's what we all miss about the league so much, Tim, is just running into friendly and familiar faces around the league, and I look forward to that day when we're able to do that as well.
So LaMelo Ball, 6'7", 190 pounds, elite size for a point guard, but again, shot just 46% overseas from two-point range, 25% from three, and as Casey Johnson just mentioned, a polarizing pick for the Chicago Bulls. Our mock draft continues now as we head toward pick number 5. And who's on the clock? Well, it's the Cleveland Cavaliers. Get all your great draft information right here at Warriors.com, Warriors Sound, and SoundCloud.com/Warriors. I'm Tim Roy, and thanks for your continuing support as we mock the 2020 NBA Draft.